Brilliant. I love baptisms. I've been in church all my life. I've become a Christian since I was 18, but I was always fascinated with baptisms. When the children come in now, you see them, they all go to the front, and have a look. And I can remember doing that as a child, and then hearing the joy in the room, then also being really confused why someone was having a fully clothed bath in front of everyone, and then always feeling the temperature of the water. And then even this morning, Theo was walking here, he started walking backwards, and he nearly went in, trying to grab him to stop him. This slide is helpful to kind of explain a simple explanation of what baptism is. It's a physical demonstration of a spiritual reality. So we get to see something here in the physical, which is spiritually real. So people stand in the water, symbolizing your belief that Jesus died and fought for our sins. So someone explained it to me before as a watery grave. You walk into the water, symbolizing Jesus' death. You get submerged in the water, demonstrating your belief in the physical death and burial of Christ. So you go under the water, signifying that this is the death to my sin. That, yeah, I am a sinner, but this is the death to my sin. And you come out of the water, rising out of the water, illustrating your belief of and victory of Jesus over the death and his resurrection. So as Jesus rose from the dead, so we come out as well, believing that we too will be resurrected. And then we have this new life, the Holy Spirit, new life, walking out of the water, signifying our devotion to Jesus, that we will now walk with him the rest of our lives, so that we are saved. So this is a done deal, but we have the Holy Spirit walking with us, giving us new life. And so that's what water baptism is. That's why it's a choice that people make, and that's why we love it, because we believe this is really important, and that Jesus not only can be with us now, but give us eternal life. And baptism is one of our church devotions. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, part of his commands, not optional, he commands his disciples to be baptized. And we moved here as a family 6 weeks before COVID and the lockdown happened. And I obviously didn't know many people were part of the church then. And so then we went to the online stuff and the church groups. But then coming out of COVID, as pastor and elders, we wanted to work out what it meant to be part of Thornhill Church. So if someone said, I'm part of Thornhill Church, we wanted that to look like something, to say, this is what it means to be part of Thornhill Church. And we looked at the book of Acts together, that video that we had at the start. That's why we showed it, because it looks at the story of Acts, specifically Acts chapter 2. And we picked out these six devotions. It could be more, it could be less. Some of these devotions impact other things. But our heart behind it was that if everyone devoted themselves to these six things, then that would be a healthy church, and hopefully one that God loves. Amen? A church that God loves, that he delights, that he wants to dwell with, and that we devote ourselves to him and to one another. And then as we spoke about these six devotions and spoke about what it means to be part of the church, we realized then that because it is an independent church and because we have people from different backgrounds, if we were to go down a more formalized membership, that actually it could be more divisive than unifying. Even as we talk about it as elders with baptism, as all, we start off with baptism being simple, and we all have different baptism stories. And so as we talked about this, we realized we wanted this to be unifying, and how can we unify people? And we wanted these biblical devotions to be in place, and then invite people to devote themselves to this church. So we won't call people up if they don't come on a Sunday, or we won't force people to join a group, or we won't check if people are giving financially or not, but we believe that these six devotions please God and that they represent what it means to love His church. And so we lead as a team like that, and we invite people to join us and be part of the church with that. And then so in Acts 2, we have these six devotions. But the first devotion or thing people did to become a Christian or a follower of Jesus or to become part of His church was to be baptized. That was the very first thing that people did, was to be baptized. They didn't do a course. They didn't say a prayer. They didn't go down the front of a service. They didn't reach to get to a level of maturity or to conquer a certain sin. They got baptized. They believed and got baptized. And baptism, I believe, is the New Testament sinner's prayer. That is how people became Christians. That is how they started their journey. That is how they said, if someone said to someone in the New Testament, "Oh, how do I become a Christian?" they would say, "Get baptized." That's what they say, "Get baptized." And we see this throughout the book of Acts. And here in Acts 2 are the verses we looked at in the video we looked at today. But just explain briefly the context of Acts 2. So Jesus had lived an amazing, sinless, selfless life, free and healing, teaching people, casting out demons, which is only possible if He is God. And because He finally said that He is God, they killed Him. They put Him on a cross on a Friday, and they said, "He's a blasphemer, He's a false prophet, He is not from God." So they killed Him because they believed that. But then 3 days later, He rose again and appeared to hundreds of people over a 40-day period. And then He said to His followers that He was then going to ascend to heaven whilst being alive, and that's why we're doing this today, because Jesus is still alive. But then He said to His followers to then wait in Jerusalem and to wait there for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to come to them. They didn't fully know what that meant or what that looked like. But wait for the Holy Spirit, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, I want you to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in My name. And then we read in Acts that His disciples were in Jerusalem. They were praying during a festival, a Jewish festival called Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit came on 120 people in a supernatural way. It shook the building. It made a noise. And these 120 people started praising God, but in different languages. Imagine like all of a sudden, all of us started speaking French or Italian or Spanish. We all said Jesus is Lord. And people who couldn't speak those languages. That's what happened. And Jerusalem at Pentecost, during that time, in that moment, it would have been heaving. There would have been loads of people, thousands of people, thousands of Jews and God-fearing people from all over the world would have come to Jerusalem for that moment. And we hear that quite a few thousand people hear this noise or feel this shaking, and they come to this place. And then they hear these people speaking in their languages, praising God. And some of them make fun of them. But then Peter then preaches, basically, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He tells them about Jesus. He tells them how Jesus has fulfilled the Old Testament. He told them how Jesus is the Messiah, how Jesus, the Messiah, had to die for our sin, but also that He rose again, and that salvation can only come through Him. And so that's the context. And then this happens. So they all hear that. And then it says this in Acts 2, 36. If you want to read the full version, I'll look at Acts 2. But this is the end of Peter's sermon. It says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. An extraordinary verse, an extraordinary scene that's happened right at the start of what we call the church, the believers of Jesus. And so we see that it starts with belief, that Peter proclaimed the word of God. He spoke about Jesus. He spoke about how Jesus had to suffer and die. People heard this. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded them. And these people accepted this message. He told them what we call the gospel, the good news. And they heard this. And Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, this is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so what is your belief in? What is their belief in? What is our belief in? It's the belief that Jesus is the Son of God. He was perfect, that he died for our sin, not his sin, that the cross was for our sin, not his, but that he rose again, and that he is alive now, 2,000 years on, that we believe that Jesus is alive. So much so that we can put our trust in him and not us, and that he can forgive us for our sin. And then it says that he will intercede on our behalf until we see him face to face. Isn't that amazing? That we can have that. And I sometimes, as a pastor here, get phone calls or emails from people in the community. And they say, oh, can I get a date to be baptized? Or can my child get baptized? And then I'll encourage them to come on a Sunday, and I'll explain to you a bit more about what baptism means and what that looks like. And just from that simple, short paragraph or email I send them, I don't hear back from them at all. They don't get back to me. They don't reply. And the reason they don't reply is because I explain it to them, and what they want is they want the work of baptism to save them. They want their work of being baptized to save them, to say, oh, I'm saved because I'm baptized, or I'm going to go to heaven because I got baptized, or my child got baptized, or we made this happen. And so their faith is in a work, not in Jesus. Their faith is in what they do and not in Jesus. Well, our faith, well, the problem is to have your faith in Jesus and to be saved by faith alone and grace alone, and then baptism is in response to being saved. It's not to get saved as our act, it's in response to being saved. And we give out this little book to people, it's very thin, it's only about 15 pages. So if someone says to us, get baptized, we just give them this book, and there's some questions in it, and we say, read that, answer the questions, and then after church on Sunday, then speak to me or one of the elders. Or if you struggle with reading, then we can do that with you. But we did that with Martha, with Imogen, and then they spoke to us after that. And then it's as simple as that, and then we asked them some questions on that. It's not a test. Your spelling doesn't have to be perfect. We don't check your handwriting or your connection or anything like that. But what we want to do is to make sure that your faith or belief is in the right place. That your simple faith, you know what it is. Because it is simple faith, and this helps. And so if you have been baptized and want to know what that means, then grab one of these in the back and have a look. And that helps us believe and know what to believe and know the correct things to have this simple faith and belief. So it starts with belief, but then it goes to repent. So believe and repent. And it says they were cut to the heart. So when they heard this message, something internally happened to them, into their heart. They were cut to the heart. And then they asked the question, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? And the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. For many people, that would be blasphemy if you baptize in Jesus' name. But this is where he said, be baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness and your sins. And repentance, it is more than saying sorry, it's an action. I like the thought of repentance is a verb, it's a doing word. Repentance is a verb, a doing word. They heard the message, they believed it to be true, and then they asked, what shall we do? So I've heard this, I think this is true. So what shall I do? Not what shall I say, or pray, or think, what shall I do? And what is the answer? The answer is, be baptized in Jesus' name. That's what you are to do. Now remember the context. Most of these were Jews, or God-fearing, non-Old Testament believers, who have come for a Jewish festival in the capital city of Israel, the most important place on earth for Jews. And they're going to be going to the festival. They hear this noise, or hear this commotion, hear these words. They then, thousands of them go here, hear this Peter guy preach about Jesus, who was killed on a cross a few weeks before. Many people saw that, but then many people still know the story. Many people witnessed him alive. Peter preaches, says, this guy is one of us. He's a Jew, he's from the Old Testament, but he's more than a man. He fulfills the Old Testament. He is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, and he rose again. And now they're told to get baptized in his name in an outside river, not in a building like this, in an outside river for everyone to see. Like this is the corner, for everyone to see. And there would have been people there who would have been so angry with them. So angry, they would have been like, kill these guys. Like, how dare they say these things? How dare they be speaking that we need to not just kill Jesus, we need to kill these people who are saying these things. It would have been family members who would have been speaking to people. We read of 3,000 be baptized into the nations there. That's incredible. But there would be many more who didn't. There would be many more who didn't, and they would say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Like, how dare you do this? I'm going to be telling the religious leaders about you. Like, don't even think about it. There'd be family members who'd be upset, who'd be angry. Like, you're dead to us if you do this. And so there was a big cost in doing this, and yet they did. 3,000 did. The church went from 120 to 3,120 in one day. That's not a bad increase of growth, is it? So that's what happened. Because they did it because they believed it was true. Because they knew only Jesus can forgive them and save them. And because they wanted to give their lives to him. He was worth the cost. He was worth the cost. And Imogen and Martha, as you guys get baptized today, this is not just a physical act. This shows your spiritual reality. But also, like, this is you counting your cost. This is you counting the cost and say, I don't want Jesus just now, I want to follow him for the rest of my life. I want to follow him for the rest of my life. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. And that's what we're going to be praying for you guys, is for you to know him for the rest of your life. For you to walk with him for the rest of your life. For the difficulties and the trials, for you to go through them, be honest with them, and work through them, learn for you to know him. We don't want you to sing in here now as teenagers. Our prayer is that you sing with him until you see him face to face. Will we pray for them, for that, guys? That's what we'll be praying for you guys, till you see him face to face. And so they believe, they repent, and then it says they receive. You believe, you repent, and you receive. And it says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is for all of you who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Anyone here being far off from the Lord? Yeah? Well, this is for us as well. And it says 3,000 were baptized and were added to the number that day. And so you receive, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You repent by being baptized. And then you receive, what do you receive? Actually, we receive loads. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, the one who can do impossible things through us, the one that is greater than he that is in the world, is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We get to have that. We get the one who will comfort us, who will convict us of sin, who will keep on encouraging us to come back to the narrow path and follow Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the assurance of our sins forgiven, that we have an identity that is in Christ, that we receive the position to be a child of God, that we receive a family of believers, the church, and we receive an eternal home in the new heavens and new earth. We receive God's grace, love, and kindness. That's not a bad deal, is it? That we get that. Us imperfect, sinful people who have messed up many times, who could never walk to a holy God, and he wants to give us that. But now, because we don't live in a warm country like they did in the Middle East, and because going into rivers is not part of our culture, where they used to spend a lot of time or clean or bath there, and because we like to invite family and friends, baptisms often occur sometime after someone has believed, repented, and received the Holy Spirit. But if you look at the book of Acts, all these three things often happened on the same day for people. They came to faith in Jesus, and they repented by being baptized, and it says, well, they received the Holy Spirit. This often happens in the book of Acts, all on the same day. But for us, it's a little bit different, but this is still in line with Scripture, because belief, Martha and Imogen have openly confessed their belief in Christ. They've confessed that to us. This is their decision. This is what they believe. And so they have shared their belief. They are showing their repentance through baptism. So they say, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And so I'm going to repent by being baptized. And so when you guys are in the water, Stu and myself will pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit even more. Amen? We don't want it just to be a physical act. We want this to be a supernatural, spiritual act where we are praying for you to be filled, to be refilled, to be baptized, to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, for him to give you gifts for his church, for him to fill you with his supernatural power to face things, the difficult things, and knowing that. So we're going to be doing that for you, to have this belief, this repent, and this receive. And so that's what we're going to do now. This is the fun part, this is the great part. And so Imogen, we asked the girls about if they had a favorite song, and Imogen picked In Christ Alone, and so we sang that earlier, and Martha picked Come Thou Fount. So we're just going to watch this song. And as we watch this song, if you have your children in Tox Church, if you guys can go and get your children, and then we're going to call the others down as well. But then the kids are going to come round, and then those people who do the baptism and get baptized, they can get ready. But just for everyone else who's not, then just enjoy the words of this great song.